And start a series of messages because it's on Wednesday night. You can't ever get through a whole message. Okay, so title of the message is If Any Man Be Ignorant. Okay, and the theme is Things We Shouldn't Be Ignorant Of. And 2 Timothy 2:15, opening verse, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And then 1 Corinthians 14:38, but if any, in the context of speaking in tongues and problems there, it's, but if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Okay, and there's some people who are just, they're ignorant because they don't know. All right? Ignorance, not stupidity. Ignorance is lack of knowledge. And there are some people who choose to stay ignorant. They don't want to know. And that's what the second verse is about. If any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. The explanation was given in Scripture. If you went and looked at passage, you'd see what I mean with that. Definition of ignorance. Want, absence, or destitution of knowledge. To be destitute of knowledge, man, that's a tough one, huh? The negative state of mind which has not been instructed in arts, literature, or science, or has not been informed of facts. I get frustrated when I've had someone say to me, well, that's your facts. Your facts are not my facts. No, it's either the truth or it's a lie. It's not my facts. God, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. What are the facts of what you're dealing with? Okay? You know, but we try, so many people try to bring emotions into the facts. And it is what it is. Ignorance may be general, or it may be limited to particular subjects. Very simple thing. You get pulled over by a police officer, and you tell him, well, I didn't know that was the law. You know what he's going to say? You do now. See, ignorance of the law is not an excuse for man violating it. Men violate the law of God every day. And they choose to be what? Willing, willfully, ignorant. What is required of thee, O man? Okay, you find different times it's spoken of. I won't finish the verse for you, okay? I think you find it in Micah 6:8. All right? But tonight I'm starting a series of messages on things not to be ignorant of in the New Testament, because there's six places where the Apostle Paul says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I want you to go to Romans chapter 1. This is the first one that Paul mentions. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to who? For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know what he's saying there? I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, about what's happening with him, but it's because he doesn't want them to be ignorant of the need of winning people to Christ. People will say, well, I don't know what the will of God is for me in my life. Well, if you're not endeavoring to lead people to the Lord, which is the general will of every believer, the priesthood of the believer, then how do you expect God to show you the particular will in your life? See, we get it mixed up. We want him to give him the particular will, and then man, we're going to go fulfill the general will? No. Okay? That's not how God works. Proverbs 11 and verse 30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Proverbs 14, 25, a true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, that great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written, what? Now this is a reference to what? The end times? That's a tribulation passage, okay? That's when you find where it talks about God being done with the Gentiles. Okay, Romans chapter 11, and you see certain things. He's returning back to deal with Israel. And it says, many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars of what? The stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I've seen people, they turn around, and they, you know, I'm telling you right now, Calvinism is an excuse not to reach people for Jesus Christ. Oh, it's God's job. They're elected. I'm not going to make any difference in that. And you lose the personal responsibility that God gave to every believer. You know what the difference is? My Bible tells me, knowledge puffeth up, but charity buildeth up, edifieth. Okay, you know what the problem is? So many Christians, they want more Bible knowledge, more Bible knowledge, more Bible knowledge. And they'll talk about a bunch of topics, okay? But you know what? Knowledge of this book is not wisdom of this book. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. The prophet said, my people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. Wisdom is the right use of that knowledge. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other places, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or fear of the Lord, yeah, it's the beginning of knowledge. But understand, knowledge of the holy is understanding. Okay? Having that understanding in place. So I want you to understand something. I'm not going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and answer for your lack of witnessing to people. If I've warned you, if Pastor has warned you, if we encourage you, we give you opportunities and ministries to do so, and you don't avail yourself of them, guess what? You're going to answer for that. Okay, he said he didn't want you to be ignorant of what was going on. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 16. Let me get there. Okay, go to verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. You see what that is? Willingly? You're making a choice to do it. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that if I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might, what? Gain the more. He made himself a servant. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, I is without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I by all means might what? And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. And he gives an illustration of that. So what is he saying there? He's saying he's going to use the knowledge of God appropriately to reach different groups of people. You don't approach every person. It's the same Bible, but you don't approach a Hasidic Jew like you do a New Ager. Okay? You don't approach some self-righteous person the same as you would an unrighteous person. And many times it's easier to reach an unrighteous person and bring him to God's righteousness than it is to reach a self-righteous person. Okay, but watch what he says. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may what? Obtain what in the context? A prize. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. So he's saying to reach those people, you know what you can't be? You can't be this extreme fringe person. You're temperate. And then so you're going to earn an incorruptible crown. It's the crown of temperance. It's you living a balanced Christian life before a lost world so that when you witness to them, they don't just look at you and think you're just come out from behind Vanuvian. Okay, that's a little moon past Venus. I don't know if it is or not. I just made that up. See, I'm being extreme for you. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying to you? He's saying, strive with the masteries. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. Well, I don't know. But you talk like a Christian, so maybe I don't have to witness to you, so maybe you're a Christian. Every first-time visitor that I get a chance to see when they come into the building, they sat behind me last Sunday, I turned around and I said, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, if you were to die today, would heaven be your home? Can you point to a time when you turned from your sin and turned to Jesus Christ? And the visitors, yeah, I have. I got saved and he gave me the time with that. But I've asked other people. Sometimes they don't want to hear it, but I'm asking them, because it's planting a seed, all right? Some plant, some water, but God granteth the... And you still with me? I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. Every time I read, I'm sorry, because I am a keeper of odd knowledge. A couple times my wife has told me that in the last couple of days. She didn't remember something, didn't know something, and I gave her information because it got stuck in here and it came out. Okay? And so a keeper of odd knowledge, that makes you a kook. All right? But the thing that happens with this is that if I can speak about something intelligently, I will try. If I can't, I don't. I ask somebody who knows about that. Okay? So you have this thing, and it says, not as one beateth the air. The minute I read this is how bad I am. My mind went to Don Knotts and a crazy, funny movie he made called The Shakiest Gun in the West. Okay? He wasn't sure about what he was doing, and so he was afraid, and he didn't have any confidence. Do you know how many times I've gone to a pastor's conference and he says, you know what your people need? They need you to be confident before them. So if you're not confident, fake it till you make it. Don't show them that you're unconfident. Point them to the Word of God. Okay? See, because the results, and this is the thing I can take comfort in. You know what the results are when you witness to somebody? Not your responsibility. I don't answer for that. I just answer whether I do it. I don't answer for whether they get saved or not. Right? So I'm not going to beat the air. You know, it's like, oh, come on. How about another one for you? The Wizard of Oz, the Cowardly Lion. Come on, it's good. Right? Going to beat the air and you're afraid. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? but I keep under my body, in other words, it's under control, and bring it unto subjection, into suggestion that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's in the context of the incorruptible crown, a crown of temperance. Okay? So it's talking about you living in a balanced Christian life before people. So you know what? When they see you and something bad happens in your life and they see you not break up over it, see you not fall apart, see you praise God or run to prayer, you know what they're going to do? They're going to want what you have. And they're going to ask you, you know, when they find out that you're a person of prayer, you know what happens? They don't want to hear you witness to them, but when they have a problem, they'll come up to you at work or school or some other place and say, could you pray for this for me? And you go, yeah, I will, because my God hears the prayers of his children. And the best thing is for you to become one of his children. Do you see what I'm saying to you? So there's a reward. It's the incorruptible crown. That's one. All right? Don't be ignorant. To win souls, you've got to be temperate. You can't get around it. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I struggle sometimes with this, but I keep praying God to help me with it, all right? For when I am weak, then I am strong. God's strength is made perfect in my weakness. I could not talk in front of people all the way through school. I couldn't. Boy, put a bat in my hand, put a ball in my hand, put a basketball in my hand, put a football in my hand. Well, I could throw it farther than anybody in gym class. They didn't have a football team at Red Creek. I was the MVP of the high school basketball team, Red Creek. That meant nothing. You know what meant something to me? When my varsity basketball coach came to the back of this church, sat in the back and cried when he heard me preach. When I am weak, then I am strong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children. See, on some have compassion, making a difference. That ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received what? The word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Because God promised that his word would not return unto him void. So your testimony is important, but the having the scripture is more important. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God in Judea, which are in Judea, are in Christ. Excuse me. For ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye have also suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway. For wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. We're losing the privilege because not enough people are taking it. You know what government does? It pushes anti-God stuff on you until enough people stand up, are willing to do it. What happened in Canada? You know, we have more liberty here in New York than they have in Canada to witness. More liberty to have church than they do. Because they didn't stand up enough. So one man stands up and he goes to jail for it. Okay, so they don't want it. They don't want to hear it being preached. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavoring to the more abundantly to see your face with great desire, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan what? See, you got to understand, when you witness, no good deed goes unpunished. Satan's not happy with that. He hinders. But look at verse 19. For what is our hope or joy or our what? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. When you witness and you have a temperate life before the people you're trying to witness to, so they can see that you're different than the world, you get a crown for that. Because God wants to bless. He's not looking to punish. He's looking to bless. He just can't bless disobedience. So when you live a temperate life before them, when they berate you and they attack you and you say, God bless you, and they don't understand that, and then you see some of them come to Christ, you know what you get? You get a crown. I want you to understand, maybe I'm not right in this, I don't know, but I believe that if a person is witnessing to somebody, okay, and they bring them to church, and they've witnessed to them, but they couldn't quite get the person to see something, and that person has been primed, they have been pumped, they just don't have one or two answers that they need. And then I get the opportunity, or Pastor Kenny gets the opportunity, or someone gets the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. Now, I get a little reward for that, but the person who was temperate before them, crown of rejoicing. Do you understand me? Because you don't win them, you warn them. A crown of temperance, an incorruptible crown for living a godly life before them, so your testimony is not destroyed. You need to understand that. And then a continual witnessing. Because when they get saved, you know what can't be taken from you? Their salvation can't be taken from them. So you cannot lose that crown. There's five crowns. One of those crowns is for loving the Lord's appearing. Do you know there's believers who were earning that and then something happened in their life and they pulled away from God and you can lose that crown? Even the church at Ephesus, they were against false teaching. And they were against things, and they stood up against it. But they had a problem. They lost a crown. Because they lost their first love. See, people get caught up in so many things. They get caught up in a pet doctrine. You ever see somebody, that, you know, they've lost temperance. They get caught up in that doctrine. So that is the uttermost thing that you must believe and understand, because I believe it, and if you don't believe it, you're not right with God. You think that happens all the time. Okay? Hey, I don't care if you got a flat head or a flat earth. Most important thing. Okay? Pastor Ken, he's told you. He mentioned it on Sunday. Something that he thought was so very important in the beginning, he realized, you know what? Now what he says? I may believe that, but I don't care if you believe that. That's not going to change your salvation or mine. It doesn't go around beating somebody with it. Somebody asked me something, I'm going to try to explain it to the best of my ability. Okay? So they get caught up in pet doctrines. They get caught up in thinking they found something that's new. You know what sometimes they do? They get caught up in what the world has that they don't have. Okay? Go to Psalm 126. Two verses, it was one of the missionary letters. Verse 5, they that sow in tears reap in joy. Right? People can tell when you're sincere about what you're doing. And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, Hey, because he gets a crown of rejoicing. Bringing what? His sheaves with him. Too many people get caught up in thinking they got to have. You know, Pastor Christian said, you know what the problem with Christianity is? As the time gets closer to the Lord's return, Christians never catch up to the world. But Christians today are more worldly than the world was when he was a teenager. And stuff that would not even be spoken of then is being pushed at you and telling you that's right in your standards, in your belief in what God says about one man, one woman, the whole thing, is a perversion. Because the world has done what? Gone that far. But we kind of tag along, just not quite getting to where they are. One last passage, Psalm 73. Long passage. This came up because my wife and I in our reading today, our devotions together, this was one of the Psalms we read together. So I read it this morning with my wife. And then this afternoon, it was the Psalm that Ben Kyle and I read together. We read a proverb and a Psalm together and talk about it every day. If we can fit it in our schedule, we try to. If we miss a couple days, whatever, we try to do it. But today was Psalm 73. Watch this. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such that are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, and violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than the heart could wish. See, he's looking at their things. They are corrupt and speak wickedly. Concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. You know what he's saying? His heart was bitter because he was envious of what the lost had. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against even the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until, probably the most important word in that psalm, until I went into the sanctuary of God and understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. See, he was ignorant of the truth of his relationship with his God. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward what? Receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. As he said, people are ignorant of the responsibility and the blessings of reaching people for Christ, reaching to them. And they're ignorant. I want to ask you tonight, what are you ignorant of? Ignorant of when it comes to the value of a soul and the way you can glorify God. And everyone can do it. And all God's people said, good night and God bless.